This morning, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 17. And I am going to read verses 14 through 20. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20. And if you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Verses 14 through 20, God's Word says this. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. The disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we have read your word, and we want it to sink into our hearts here this morning. We want it to change us from the inside out. And Father, you are going to use me to expound on this message here this morning. And my prayer is that I hide behind the cross, that you be glorified, and that the things that I say here this morning will be certainly pleasing to you and uplifting for all of us. Again, you do get all the praise and glory. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a sermon series called Real Faith. Why real faith? Because there is a lot of faith that is not real. It is fake. It is false. It is not genuine. We just got done talking about for 5 weeks, saving faith. Faith comes in different flavors. First part of it was saving faith, the faith that saves us. Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. We're saved by grace through faith. What is that faith? That is saving faith. And we went through 5 steps. It starts with the truth. Then we know the truth. We believe the truth. We trust the truth. And then the final step we talked about last week was there is evidence of that inward change inside us. So if we truly have saving faith, if we truly are a new creation in Christ, we will change and there will be evidence of that. One last point I'd like to make about saving faith, and it's this. Ephesians 2:8. We're saved by grace through faith, and it is a what from God? It's a gift. And not by works. You do nothing to earn it. He gives it to you. The most you can do is ask for it. And he'll be most gracious and give you that saving faith. Which leads us today into another type of faith, which I will call mustard seed faith. Why do I call it that? Because Jesus says right here, if you have faith this small as the size of a mustard seed. So what is that? What is mustard seed faith? Do I have it? Do you have it? How big does it need to get? Where do I find it? There is a lot of questions I believe come along with this thing called mustard seed faith. And what I'm going to do here this morning is this. I'm going to share with you 3 stories. 3 stories. This morning is not going to be very theological. It's not going to be very biblically based. It's going to be 3 stories of 3 struggles that I have had in my life over this thing called mustard seed faith. I assure you this, when it comes to mustard seed faith, I would hope you have or had, as I did and sometimes still do, questions. It's okay to have questions when it comes to mustard seed faith. But at some point in time, we have to start learning, we have to start growing, and we have to start understanding what this thing is called mustard seed faith. So what I'm going to do, again, this week I'm going to share some stories with you, so it's going to be like one continuous story time with Pastor Mike. And then next week we'll dig in a little bit deeper into some other types of mustard seed faith that's out there. And then probably the week after that is when we'll conclude and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So, here's my story. Starts like this. You all know when I got saved, in April of 1994. And in April of 1994, I wanted to learn all the truths that I could about God and His Word. One of the things that I found very interesting was this thing called faith. What is faith? Well, again, we talked about human faith. I have faith that when I press on my brake pedal on my car, it's going to slow down and stop. That's one kind of faith. But what is this biblical faith? What is this mustard seed faith? Did you know that at that point in time when I first got saved and I started reading the Bible, one of my favorite verses was this, and I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. It's very similar. Matthew 21 was this. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says this, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done." And here was the clincher, verse number 22. "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Well, that's got to be true, right? It's in the Bible. Wow, I like that truth. So where did that verse take me on my journey? Let's start a year ago, okay? Now, granted, a year ago in the summer of 2012, I was pretty mature, or at least more mature in my faith than what I was years ago. But in the summer of 2012, I will admit this, I'm really not a very big Major League Baseball fan, but if I was going to have a favorite team, it would be the Pittsburgh Pirates, considering I'm from Pittsburgh. As of the All-Star break last year, 2012, the Pirates were in first place. Now, one thing, if you've ever followed the Pirates, they've had losing seasons ever since 1992. So they've never really come out over 500. And I remember that morning getting on my cell phone and I'm texting a Christian friend of mine, and I texted him this and I said, "Do you think the Pirates can do it this year?" A few minutes later, I get a response back from him, and it was this, "Mike, you got to have faith." Which leads to some interesting questions, doesn't it? Does my faith make that team win baseball games? Does my lack of faith make them lose baseball games? Is it my faith, or is it the faith of all the fans that make a team win or lose a baseball game? Or maybe it's not my faith at all. Maybe it's the faith of the players on the team that they have faith that they can win this game. That was another question. Or how about this question? What if my team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, is playing the St. Louis Cardinals? Whoever wins that game, is it a matter of this team or this team winning? These people have more faith than these people. These fans have more faith than these people. Where does faith fall into that kind of a scenario? Was that a good response from him? "Mike, you gotta have faith." Thought the answer was most interesting. So I'm just going to drop that story right there. Let's move into story number two. We'll get back to that story here in about 2 weeks. Let's move the hands of time back to 1998. It's 1998. I am attending Verona United Methodist Church at that time. At that point in my life, I was teaching a Bible class on Sunday nights. Every Sunday night at that church, there were three different Bible classes going on. I taught one of them, and there were two other ones in progress. We met from 6:30 to 8 o'clock every Sunday evening. Two of my best friends at that time were a guy named Joey Steele, which actually he was here at this church one Sunday and kind of gave his testimony. Joey and another guy, Brian. The three of us hung out, and we were all new believers in Christ. We didn't know very much about the Bible. We didn't know very much about God. And we would spend time before class on a Sunday night, and after class, we would get together and just start sharing what we knew, what we learned. And I remember sitting in my van and would sit there and just talk about what God is doing and the new truths that we have learned. And as Brian used to always say, I really like this because iron sharpens iron. But we were all in a learning process because we were all new to this thing called a Christian faith. Well, one night, it was probably early 1998, probably around February. It was after one of our Sunday night classes. And the three of us, there's me, Joey, and Brian, we're standing there talking. And here comes this woman. She comes walking up to us. And her name is Brenda. And Brenda is part of one of the other classes, and she is crying. Well, Brenda, what's wrong? And Brenda says, I have just went to the doctors this week, and I have just been diagnosed. I have a mass in one of my breasts, and they are pretty convinced that it's cancer. Because, you see, I have cancer in my family. And because of that, they're pretty sure that that's what this is. So, what did the first thing I thought of? Well, I have faith. Brenda, sit down. We pulled up a chair. We let Brenda sit down. And there was me and Joey and Brian. And we prayed for this lady. We put our hands on her shoulders and I said a prayer, and then Brian took his turn and Joey took his turn. And I will say this. I prayed with about as much faith as I could possibly pray for that night in that prayer. And I'm sure my two friends did too. When the prayer was over, we prayed that Brenda would be healed. Why not? Let's go for the whole thing. Lord, heal this woman. So when we got done praying, she got up, she kind of gave us all a hug, and we left. A couple Sunday nights later, there's me and Brian and Joey before class just standing there, and here walks in Brenda, and she has a smile from ear to ear. And she tracks us down, and she comes up to us, and she gives us all a hug, and once again, she's crying. But this time, it didn't seem to be a sorrowful cry. It seemed to be more of a joyful cry. Brenda, what's happening? I went back to the doctor, had more tests done, and there is absolutely nothing there. Whatever was there is gone. Thank you for praying for me. Now, what goes through your mind? Picture yourself as Mike or Brian or Joey. What are you thinking? Ha ha! Look what my faith did. Look at what my prayer did. We prayed, and this woman has been healed. There is something to this faith thing, this prayer thing. And I'll be the first to admit, I think there's a connection between faith and prayer, and I'll still believe that today. But this is a great thing. We prayed with faith, and Brenda comes back with a great report. She has been healed. Well, that's something. Yeah, that's something. A couple weeks later, we find out that another woman in the group, her husband has fallen ill and has not been given a very good prognosis. So I went up to her after that class and said her name, and I don't want to say her name here, and I said, would it be possible if me and Joey and Brian come over your house after class tonight and pray for your husband? And she said, oh, that would be wonderful. And I said, see if anybody else wants to come over. Because what was I going to do? I was going to do the exact same thing for her husband what I did for Brenda. So here's me and Joey and Brian. We're talking about this as we're driving over there. And we get to her house, and there's Jim, her husband. He's lying there in bed, and like I said, the prognosis wasn't good. But wait a second. I have faith, and I am going to pray. And by the way, do you remember what happened to Brenda? So here we are around his bed, and I'm holding on to Jim's shoulder, or might have been clutching his hand. And there's a whole group of us circled around Jim's bed, and we're going to pray. Me and Brian and Joey and Jim's wife and several other people showed up. What did I pray? I prayed for the exact same thing I prayed for Brenda. I prayed that this man Jim would be healed. What kind of faith did I pray with? The exact same faith that I prayed with for Brenda. Now you got to remember, here was one success story. My faith has probably been even increased a little bit. So I'm praying that this man right here will be healed of whatever it is that's ailing him. We have the prayer. Everybody around the group prays. And we leave. We go home. The next day, I'm at work. The next day being a Monday. I'm at work and my phone rings. And it's one of the other ladies that was in our circle that night before. Not Jim's wife, but somebody else. She said, Mike, do you have a few minutes to talk? And I said, sure. And then she lit into me. How could you ever have a prayer like that? I don't know if she was pointing her finger on the other end. How could you pray like that? How could you give that man false hope that he was going to get well? How could you do that, Mike? You're supposed to be a leader in the church. You're supposed to be a person who teaches the Bible. And you're doing this? You're praying this kind of stuff? Yeah. Well, how could you? I tried explaining to her that just about a month before, I prayed for Brenda, and guess what? Well, this man has a disease that he's not going to be cured from. And this man is going to die. And Mike, you gave him false hope last night. How could you do that? So now, a month earlier, I was on top of the world. And here I am now, after I hung up with this lady, feel like I'm the biggest buffoon that ever walked the face of the earth. I'm confused. Who's right? What is this mustard seed faith all about anyways? I saw it over here and I saw what the results were, and so I'm just doing the same thing over here for Jim. Why not? So I'm confused. And I have questions. About 2 weeks later, Jim passes away. So now, I really have some questions. Maybe even some doubts. Ooh, there's that D word. Some doubts. So I call my senior pastor and I say, could we meet because I have a whole lot of questions about some things, and I need some answers. And he said, sure. I said, how about Sunday night after Bible class? You can talk with me and Brian and Joey and this other lady who made that phone call joined us also. So there we are. That night after Bible class, after 8 o'clock, we're sitting in the room, and I just throw the whole thing out there on the table, and I say, Pastor, here's what happened. We prayed over here, and this is what happened with Brenda. We prayed here for Jim, and he died. And, oh, by the way, I got a phone call from her, and she told me that I shouldn't be doing stuff like this. So what's the right thing to do? What should I pray for? Where is my faith? What does my faith do? Do I even have any faith at all? What did I have before? What do I have now? What has changed? The pastor didn't give me any advice on the faith end of those questions. But I believe he gave me some really, really good advice on the prayer end of my questions. And he said this, and I'll never forget this, because I think this is good, sound advice. He said, Mike, when you're praying for another person, don't pray for what you want. Pray for what they want. That's pretty good advice. He said this, I'm sure, Mike, you wanted this man to live. Maybe Jim just wanted to go home and be with Jesus. Not bad advice. But he never answered the faith thing. What about the faith? Why does it work here and it didn't work here? Then we're in the middle of this conversation, and this lady who called me says this, well, Mike, when we pray, we should pray that the will of God be done. Well, first of all, no matter what she was going to tell me, I was going to disagree with her because I'm upset with this woman, right? She called me up on a Monday and dissed me out while I'm at work. No matter how good of advice she's going to give me. And I remember coming back to her and saying this. Now, one thing about her and I, we both have sons the exact same age. And at that time in 1998, they would have both been 19 years old. And I said, well, let me throw this at you. What if both of our sons were in a very terrible automobile accident? And they were both lying over at the University of Charlottesville Hospital in comas. I said, you tell me, what would you be praying for? Where would your faith be? Would you be praying that God's will be done? Or would you be praying, God, get my son out of this bed and heal him. He has a life to lead. I said, no, you tell me, what would you be praying for? And she didn't have an answer for that. I challenge you, what would you be praying for? I know what I would still be praying for. But I can tell you this, my faith has changed. So what is mustard seed faith? And those are my three stories. What is mustard seed faith? Does it have anything to do with who wins or loses baseball games? Talk about that in 2 weeks. But what about Brenda? I had faith that she would be healed. And guess what? She was healed. What about Jim? I have faith that his disease, whatever he had, would go away. And it didn't happen. I had questions. Do you sometimes have questions about faith and how things of this puzzle kind of go together? Is there a pattern? Is there a formula? Is there a certain thing that I need to do or not do? Well, these were certainly the questions that I had at that moment in my life. It was a crisis moment, I guess I could say, of what is mustard seed faith. So from that point on, I started pursuing, if there was one thing that I'm going to learn, there's many things in God's Word I need to learn, there's still many things I still need to learn. But I am going to go to God, and I'm going to ask Him to help me with this thing called mustard seed faith. Because in the spring of 1998, I was one confused Christian. Next week, we'll go into part two. Not any stories next week, but we're going to go into another segment of mustard seed faith, of things that some churches will lead you to believe. And I need to make these things known to this congregation here. Actually, next week is going to be what mustard seed faith is not. And then the week after that, we'll put all the pieces together and try to arrive at a really, really good biblical conclusion. So, you got to be back next week. Okay? Vlasic family, plan another trip. You got to hear the rest of the story. Let's go to God in prayer.